Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. Laura, I'm still kind of, I'm not done with that game on Sunday. The 49ers snap a four-game losing streak. And obviously, this is a big game moving forward against the Arizona Cardinals. And I would say it's a bigger game because this is a game that shapes up like the 49ers should win it. But there are a lot of things out of that Chicago Bears victory that the 49ers posted on Sunday at Soldier Field that kind of makes me think that things are heading in the right direction.
Okay, do tell. I want to know your thoughts.
There's a couple things. First off, you know, there was this, and I don't think anybody really felt this, but there were the questions about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Or are they on the same page? And where is this locker room? And, you know, is Kyle, you know, what's his mindset right now? And before the game in Chicago, it came to light after that game that Kyle Shanahan asked general manager John Lynch to basically give the team a pep talk on the Saturday night at the JW Marriott where the team was staying. And John Lynch was up there in front of the team for about 20 minutes, and he went through, you know, position groups and kind of gave some tough love. You know, hey, you guys are doing this right, but I want to see more of this. And he had some players standing up, and he didn't talk about every player on the team, but he did go through the team and kind of gave his impressions and kind of fired the guys up. And that's obviously something that Kyle Shanahan would not have asked John Lynch to do if those guys weren't on the same page in lockstep like they've been pretty much every step of the way since they came to the organization in 2017.
Well, you asked Kyle Shanahan about this, and I loved his insight. I didn't know if this was something that regularly occurred, and it's not. Kyle Shanahan maybe once a year, something like that. So this was obviously a big moment in time for Kyle Shanahan to sit back and realize, I need to bring somebody else. Like, something has to change behind the scenes too. We need maybe more of a little pep talk. John Lynch is obviously a Hall of Famer. These guys respect John Lynch for multiple reasons, for his play on the field, his Hall of Fame career, and the fact that he's the general manager of their team. So he kind of holds weight in a lot of different areas for the team. I like that Shanahan did this. And there's no doubt in my mind that some of what John Lynch had to say on Saturday night did play a part in the 49ers' victory on Sunday. There was something very different about the team.
Yeah, I mean, it also shows that this team was at a crossroads, and Kyle Shanahan felt like they had to hear a voice, a trusted voice, and Kyle Shanahan would not have done that with any other person or any person that he felt like, you know, he had some questions about. So that to me, that showed a lot. The other thing that showed me a lot was, did you catch the video after the game when they're in the locker room and celebrating that victory?
Yes. The bleeps, there was some bleeping going on.
Well, actually, the one I saw from 49ers.com, I didn't hear any bleeps. They just cut out the words. So it was silence. It wasn't any bleeps. It was just like you saw his mouth moving, but there was no sound at all. And obviously, there were some choice words, but choice celebratory words thrown in there. And if we played that audio, we would then have to change our designation to mature audiences. But it showed you kind of his, you know, where he is and the passion that he felt after that game. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, who we had criticized a week earlier, at least I had, for not stepping up and kind of taking ownership of this thing, you know, during the game, his actions spoke volumes of how much ownership he took of that game against the Bears. And then after the game in the locker room, when he was presented with a game ball, his words also spoke volumes. And he talked about, you know, enjoying this victory. It was a team win in so many ways. And then he immediately said, and this is important, let's enjoy it. And then let's get to work on Monday and start it all over again. And that's where we are right now, where the 49ers face a really critical game just because of where these teams are right now. 49ers against the Arizona Cardinals, Levi's Stadium. 49ers haven't won here in more than a year. They need this win. They need it big time because the Cardinals, I think, come into this game with more question marks than the 49ers.
It's so weird. That's something that we talked about in their last home game is that they hadn't won in almost a year. Well, now it has been a year. That's just hard to believe. And that weighs heavy on a team. You can't defend your home turf. You can't defend your home stadium. It's supposed to be where you're comfortable, where you've got your fans behind you, where you can sleep in your own bed, all of these things. So that would, on Sunday, a victory over the Cardinals would mean a lot, you know, record-wise, clearly, but also just to keep that momentum going. Because say you beat the Bears and then you come in, you lose to the Cardinals, and then you have the Rams, it just starts to get a little dicey. So this could be a very big momentum builder. And as you mentioned, the Cardinals are suffering from injuries, something that the 49ers know all too well. This is something they've been dealing with for almost 2 years now. Now the Cardinals have Kyler Murray, who was in a crazy scenario, was the final play of the game, injures his ankle against the Packers last Thursday. So they do have a little extra rest, but concerning enough is that they've had that extra rest and Kyler Murray as of Wednesday was still not practicing. Although Cliff Kingsbury, their head coach, and Kyler Murray have both said that they would feel completely comfortable with him playing on Sunday, even if he doesn't practice at all. DeAndre Hopkins also hasn't been available to practice. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He apparently was checking himself into that game on Thursday, their first loss of the season to the Packers. The coaching staff did not want him to play, and he was checking himself into the game. That's the kind of player DeAndre Hopkins is, but that might have injured himself, you know, even more. So he's a question mark for Sunday too. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins as question marks is not good for the Cardinals, but is good news for the 49ers.
And AJ Green, the other wide receiver, veteran guy, didn't have a big game against the 49ers back on October 10th. He only had the one catch for 13 yards, but he is on the COVID list. And so now his status for this game is in question too. But you know, these teams just played a little while ago, and obviously it was Trey Lance at quarterback. 49ers lost 17-10. The 49ers did a really good job of keeping Kyler Murray in check for the most part. He completed 22 of 31 passes, 239 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, and he ran seven times for 1 yard. So that's not a great average. That's 0.1 yards per carry. And there might have been some kneel downs there at the end. Let me just check quickly. I think there were. So that kind of contributed to that. Yeah. So he had kind of misleading because he had doing quick math here, Laura.
That's never a good thing.
It's never a good thing. And I think I got this right. He did have 3 kneel downs for minus 7 yards in the final minute of that game, or final 2 minutes of that game.
Well, so one thing it tells me too is if he's
that I'm a really good at math, is that what it tells you?
That's it. I mean, that's a given. Very good at math.
That's why I decided on journalism, because I was so good at math.
Bring all of your math problems to us. We will not help you solve them at all. I can't wait for homework with my kids when they get to be that. I mean, starting in like what, fifth grade, I'm going to be like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Side story, that's for a different podcast. Yeah,
as soon as you run out of fingers and toes to count on, that's when it gets difficult.
I do still count on my fingers for sure. So there's that. that's, again, a different podcast for a different day. But with Kyler Murray and the 49ers being, I forgot that they had limited him that much on the ground. This is a guy that's clearly a mobile quarterback, that the 49ers struggle against mobile quarterbacks. But this season, they obviously kept him in check, even though they lost that game. And of course, that was Trey Lance's first NFL career start too. But if he's got this ankle injury, which he does, and that's going to affect him in some way on Sunday, of course. So I expect him to not be running around as much as he would be. And that's a big part of Kyler Murray's game and what makes him so elusive, what makes him so hard to stop.
So the 49ers also could be getting some people back. They're definitely going to be getting Robbie Gould back, because they cut the fill-in kicker, Joey Sly, earlier this week. So Robbie Gould will be back. George Kittle returned to practice on Wednesday after missing three games with a calf injury. He's got a little bounce in his step. The 49ers were going to take it really slow in practice on Wednesday just because so many guys are banged up. So there's a belief that he'll be back on the field as well to play. Jeff Wilson probably still a couple weeks away, or at least 1 week away. And with Elijah Mitchell, he has some banged up ribs. So he's limited in practice this week. 49ers are hoping that he'll be able to play. And then Dre Greenlaw is still a week away from probably opening that practice window. And the 49ers did add someone. I don't know if that he'll be in uniform on Sunday, but we shall see. They got someone in the on the trade market right at the trade deadline. We'll talk about that and a lot more right after this word from Big O Tires.
Did you know that the warranty from a tire manufacturer could be voided if your car is out of alignment? At Big O Tires, we install and maintain every tire we sell and offer critical services like alignments. Here at Big O, everything we do is to protect you and your car. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
And so one day after the 49ers, coach Kyle Shanahan said that he wasn't expecting any big moves at the trade deadline from the team. Well, I would say they didn't have any big moves, but they had one move. And they traded a sixth-round pick in 2023. And so what year are we in right now, Laura? 21. So that means the next draft would be the 2022 draft. And the one after that would be 2023. Am I correct on that?
So you are right. We are right on track with our math today. We can count just one at a time, though.
Yes. And I have my fingers. I was prepared to go up to 10 years.
Wow.
I'm pretty good at that. So the 49ers acquired an edge rusher from the Houston Texans. Laura, do you want to give it a shot?
Charles Omenahu, I believe.
Charles Omenahu. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah.
Grammar and math.
Yeah. No, we're good. What is a phonetic spelling?
Yeah. I don't know that that's grammar. It's just letters.
Yeah, Omenahu. Yeah, so he's played 35 career games. He was a fifth-round pick of the Texans a couple years ago. The thing that makes this a good move for the 49ers, as I said, they're giving up a draft pick down the road. But also, Omenahu is signed for another year and a half. So the 49ers don't just get him like on the final year of his contract now. They also get him for 2022. And that's important because the 49ers like to have a lot of defensive linemen under contract. And this year, they do have a lot of guys who are coming up on free agency, guys who are not signed beyond this year. So I'm going to just tick them off here. DJ Jones, Zach Kerr, Maurice Hurst, Arden Key, Jordan Willis, Kentavious Street, Kevin Givens. And then we don't really expect Dee Ford to be back next year, but who knows? So Omenahu right now would join a group of defensive linemen under contract through next season. That includes Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, Samson Ebukam, and Javon Kinlaw. Javon Kinlaw has undergone that season-ending surgery. They expect him to be back, ready to go for next season. Hopefully for him, he's healthy and can finally get on the field and show why the 49ers selected him at number 14 overall in that 2020 draft.
This is going to be like a cornerback situation that we've had over the past, that the 49ers have dealt with over the past, was it 2 years now?
Kind of mixing and matching and trying to figure it out.
I mean, when you look at that list, holy cow.
Yeah.
They're going to have their hands full in negotiations and wheeling and dealing this offseason with all that. But that we'll leave that to the second week of January or third week of January. We don't know when the season's going to end. As of this point, I'm not tricking myself into going down that road. No.
Yeah,
no,
let's keep it focused on the here and the now.
Yeah, we'll
do that. Yeah, let's do that. And the here and the now is this week the 49ers had an NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Deebo Samuel, no surprise to anyone, 171 yards receiving against the Bears. And he had a fantastic game. The only downside to this, and by the way, he became the second 49ers player to get Offensive Player of the Week in the last 8 years. The other one was Jimmy Garoppolo back in 2019, that great game he had against the New Orleans Saints. But the downside was, as you recall, Deebo Samuel was limited in practice a little bit last week with a calf injury, and he played a lot of football, and he ran a lot in that game. And yeah, he was very productive, but he did come out of that with an aggravation of that calf injury, which means he did not practice on Wednesday. But Kyle Shanahan said that he's hopeful and expects Deebo Samuel to be out there Sunday against the Cardinals.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel had 6 receptions, 171 yards, that 83-yard almost touchdown that he had. He's just such a big part of the offense. So this kind of scares me a little bit with Deebo having this aggravation, and then also with Elijah Mitchell, who's, you know, come out of the gate and proven that as a rookie, he knows how to be patient. He knows where the holes are. He knows how to work this offense. And he's been such a big part of the 49ers offense this season too. So to have those two guys a little banged up is, I think, concerning for Sunday's game.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about the trade deadline. The 49ers do get an edge rusher, a backup edge rusher. I don't think they're expecting big things from him, but they think that they have someone that they can work with through next season as well. You know, a lot of talk, you know, where the 49ers going to get a cornerback or a wide receiver. And like I said, Kyle Shanahan ruled that out or said that that would surprise him. But, you know, there are potentially some veteran wide receivers out there now. We don't know exactly what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. as we're taping this. And then the Rams have parted ways with DeSean Jackson. It would really surprise me if the 49ers went after DeSean Jackson. They had an opportunity a couple of years ago, and they just really didn't feel good about that. Not that he isn't a tremendous player. Of course, he's getting up there in years. But Beckham would be interesting because, you know, the 49ers could definitely use another wide receiver in there. But maybe also they feel a little bit better about their wide receiver position right now than they did even a couple of weeks ago, because even though Brandon Ayuk didn't have a great statistical game, it felt different, and he appears to be on the right track. And I think on Monday, when Kyle Shanahan was asked about Brandon Ayuk, he kind of gave some clues as to what has been amiss. And also, I think there seems to be a lot of optimism, not only from Kyle Shanahan, but from Brandon Ayuk's teammates and even Brandon Ayuk, that he's on the right track. So I think they're looking forward to him becoming more of that complimentary piece, a guy who can maybe not fully share the load with Deebo Samuel, because Samuel is going crazy here through 7 games, but certainly somebody who can now become a reliable, steady part of the 49ers passing game.
Yeah, you mentioned his stats not being great or super impressive, but they're super impressive compared to the rest of the season, which was virtually non-existent for Brandon Ayuk. So, you know, if you just look at this past Sunday's game, the victory over the Bears for Brandon Ayuk, it was a massive improvement for him just being out there, showing that he's reliable, showing that he can be trusted. I think bringing up the 2-point conversion that you did on the last episode of our podcast, that's a big moment in the game, and you're relying on a guy that maybe 2 weeks ago you wouldn't rely on, maybe even a week before that you wouldn't rely on. So I think he's making big strides. I think it seems he's turned a corner with Kyle Shanahan. I can't imagine what it's like to be in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan. You know, I'm guessing he's giving you the playbook on how to get your way out of that situation. And it seems that Brandon Ayuk is committed to doing that and not shying away from it. Instead of, he's owning his issues and he's owning where he fell short, and he's trying to get back into the good graces.
Speaking of Brandon Ayuk, 49ers Talk is brought to you by FitAid. FitAid fuels your body with complete sports recovery using the power of targeted supplements and vitamins. Train hard, recover fast. Yeah, and Brandon Ayuk is a spokesman, right? Isn't he a
FitAid?
Yes, he is. So see how I did that? It's a nice.
I saw that. I didn't know where you were going with that at first, and then it took me like 5 seconds, and I put the pieces together.
Yeah, very good.
I'm a little slow today.
Well, I think we all are. But so Brandon Ayuk, one of the things that Kyle Shanahan said about Brandon Ayuk was that he talked about the GPS readings. And this is something where Kyle Shanahan gets a list after every practice. He gets a printout. I think it's a printout. I don't know that it's emailed to him. It might be. But he gets a list of how fast guys are running in practice, because they have these GPS chips or whatever that are sewn into their uniform, a little pocket that they put in there. And the human performance staff takes those out and they crunch all the numbers and all that, download the information. And it sure seemed as if, and kind of it goes along with what I've been hearing, was that Brandon Ayuk just wasn't running hard in practices. And, you know, whether that was because of the hamstring injury that kind of limited him a little bit before the start of the season or not, the fact of the matter is he wasn't working as hard on the practice field, and he wasn't having those work habits that carry over and running hard and getting open and doing all the little things. And what it looked like on Sunday against the Chicago Bears was that he was doing all the little things. You know, he was getting out in front of Deebo Samuel and blocking. He made that key block on that 83-yard run, catch and run, that helped the 49ers potentially, while they avoided their first punt of the day, they ended up not punting at all because of that play, a wide receiver screen that came on a 3rd-and-20 play. But so that's a key thing that the 49ers are looking for. They're expecting more from Brandon Ayuk. And another part that I'd like to discuss is, you know, when I talked about hearing Kyle Shanahan in the locker room after the game, you know, he's a coach that I think relates well to his players. And you heard how he spoke and how he talked about some of the guys. He's also, as you said, Laura, I mean, he's a guy that doesn't sugarcoat things and will get on a player and will get, you know, will really challenge him. But also, you know, I relayed the story a couple of weeks ago about seeing Kyle Shanahan long after practice being approached by Brandon Ayuk, and those two went off and they talked about something for a few minutes. And then Brandon Ayuk on Sunday after the game, when I was asking him about why this season wasn't as good as anybody had hoped, you know, he talked about his mindset, and, you know, he doesn't look at it like, you know, the numbers. He doesn't care about the targets or any of that. He just wants to be part of a winning effort. And then he did throw in there right before he left the podium, he said, I'll be back in his office on Monday talking to him. And that him that he was referring to was Kyle Shanahan. So it did point out to me, it kind of reinforced what I believed, which is those two have a very good line of communications. And I don't know what the doghouse means, but it's like, I don't believe that Brandon Ayuk was in the doghouse. I think Kyle Shanahan was trying to get him to play up to his potential. And I think Brandon Ayuk totally understands that.
Bang, bang, bang. Niner guy. Bang, bang, Niner guy.
Faithful to the Bay. Be there as the 49ers continue to celebrate their 75th anniversary season with a full capacity of the faithful at Levi's Stadium, November 7th against the Arizona Cardinals. Secure your seats today at 49ers.com/tickets.
Matt, you know what the doghouse is. Well,
why? Have you heard about stuff that's going on in my house?
Yeah, I know all about everything. I talk to your wife. Come on.
When I don't put the dishes in the dishwasher, yeah.
Okay. See? Yeah. Brandon Ayuk went and put the dishes in the dishwasher. That's all Kyle Shanahan wanted. You actually do have a great article about this. I was reading it on NBCSportsBayArea.com or on the My Teams app about the whole GPS tracking and all that. So I got to go back there before we continue on the doghouse discussion, because you know that they have these things and access to this type of information. But I don't know if anybody else out there feels the same way. When you hear like Kyle Shanahan's reviewing this data of how fast people are running in practice, I'm like, how many hours are in his day? Because it seems like he's got extra, that he's so busy. How do you have time to review this data? It was interesting to me that is something that they're looking at. He did kind of clue in. He made the comments. We're kind of putting two and two together, but I do think it's probably something that they look at. It shows effort in practice.
Yes.
And I mean, that's some detail right there. Anyway, I don't know if anybody else feels the same way I do about that. And also, if at practice you got to run that hard every day.
I was going to say, like, is it like there's like this big brother element, right? Like you can't escape. You can't fake it unless you're like, you know what I'd be willing to do? Like who's one of the fastest guys on the team? Let's just say Elijah Mitchell. I might like walk over to him and slip my little GPS monitor into his waistband. And then like, you know,
I have a feeling that wouldn't work.
You never know.
They might be able to see the routes too.
Yeah.
Okay. They'd figure you out pretty good. Okay, so and this is why Matt Maiocco didn't make it as an NFL player.
There, yeah, the only reason.
The only reason. That's it. But back to the doghouse thing. Yeah, it does seem that Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't want him to fail. Obviously, when Brandon Ayuk does well, the 49ers have a better shot at winning. So it's not like he wanted him to do poorly. But the point was, he obviously wasn't efforting 100%. Mm-hmm. And in order to win games on Sundays, you need everyone efforting 100% in practice. Because the games come at you fast and furious on Sundays. And if you aren't preparing yourself for that all week long, all off season, and how you take care of your body, we've seen it with Debo Samuel. And we talked to him here on 49ers Talk. If you didn't get to hear that discussion, check a few podcasts back. And his off season regimen is well documented. And that does, it's the little things that people don't see that make the difference on Sundays. And I think that's what's hard for anybody. You know, if your boss isn't watching, if they're not able to check in on your numbers or how you're doing, you know, what are you doing when no one's watching to prepare yourself for the big game? And I think what Kyle Shanahan was noticing is that he wasn't doing all of the right things in order to prepare himself for Sundays. So it wasn't like he was saying, I want you to fail, you're terrible. Instead, he's saying, I'm going to meet with you, be better. I know what you're capable of. Live up to that standard, live up to where we drafted you, you know, be the guy that we know you're capable of being. And Brandon Ayuk took the challenge and is running with it.
And I think that the thing that's important here is that, you know, people might say, well, that's so petty just because he's not practicing well. How can you hold that against him and not target him for passes in the game? But it's all connected, because if you let one guy slide, you're, what kind of message does that send? And if teammates can see that a guy's not doing all the things in practice, but yet he's still getting, you know, there's still trust in him to perform in the game. Like, I don't know, that sends a horrible message. And also I think that in football of all sports, I don't think you can just flip a switch and say, I'm not going to really bust my butt 6 days a week, but boy, on Sundays, you know, you can depend on me. I mean, there's not a big enough body of work for, you know, a young player to get that. Like a veteran guy who's been around for 8-10 years, yeah, maybe, because, you know, there might be some physical limitations of where the guy doesn't practice earlier in the week, but he's going to be ready for the games. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think the point that you're making too, Laura, is that the game that the 49ers played against the Bears, they did all the little things and they practiced the little things. And Jimmy Garoppolo said it on Wednesday, kind of what separated that game from a lot of the other games is that in the week of practice, they really focused in on the little things. It's everybody knows where the ball is going, but it's the person, you know, aside from the person who delivers the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the person who's catching the ball or running with the ball, it's the 9 other players. What are they doing to make a certain play successful? And from that standpoint, the 49ers were spot on. They had it nailed. And all you had to do was look at that 83-yard catch and run from Debo Samuel, where Brandon Ayuk makes the block and Trent Williams is out there. And guys like Kyle Juszczyk had a heck of a game as a block. He didn't touch the ball at all in that game, I don't think. Maybe once. I don't know. But he was a mammoth contributor to the 49ers because of his blocking. I mean, he was just taking out guys left and right. So it's doing the little things, and we will talk more about the little things, the big things, and everything in between after this word.
Toughness takes a new form this season. Say hello to the new 2022 Toyota TRD Pro Series. Just like the red and gold, we're going farther with every drive. Go big with the heavyweight Sequoia. Demand your own lane with the strongest Tundra. Get in the trenches with the bold Tacoma. And bust through any terrain with the rugged 4Runner. Nothing's impossible with the new 2022 Toyota TRD Pro Series. Proud partner of the San Francisco 49ers. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, we're back on 49ers Talk. And for those of you watching this on YouTube, does it look like my head is just kind of floating in the screen?
You are floating. Halloween's over, Matt. What's going on?
Well, I'm in a dark room, but the light is on my head. but you don't really see, oh, you see my hands a little bit, but you don't really
see. You can see there's a chair or something behind
me. Yeah, there's some stuff back there.
Yeah. Kyle Juszczyk, by the way, did touch the ball once. One reception for 11 yards. So you were right.
I was right. I was
Your memory served you well.
That's kind of right. Hey, so we started this podcast talking about the Bears game, kind of tying up the loose ends. 49ers had the Cardinals coming to town. This is a more important game for the 49ers than even the Bears game was. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, knowing how the Bears game turned out or not knowing how the Bears
Yeah, good point. Okay, let's just say this. We can't change what's happened in the past, but we can talk about what's happening in the future. That made no sense because we can also talk about what happened in the past. But let's
That's what we've been talking about for the whole podcast.
So let's talk about this game. This game sets up well for the 49ers. And I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to say the word playoffs, even though I just did. Gosh darn it. But I don't even
want to. Bleep it out. Bleep.
Okay, put it this way. I don't even want to talk about 49ers in the same sentence as that word until they get to the 500 mark. It's hard to take a team seriously until they get to the 500 mark. Remember how we started the podcast against the Colts or the game after the Colts or that they're a bad team? Well, yeah. They will remain a bad team until they get to 500. They're an average team.
Yeah, and not even that. They've got to beat somebody worth beating. Yeah. Getting a win in the NFL is getting a win in the NFL, but you've got to get a W over a respectable team in 2021 before people are really going to start taking you seriously. And that's exactly what the Cardinals are and the Rams are. So they've got opportunities over the next 2 weeks. And one thing I want to go back to that you were mentioning earlier was Kyle Shanahan's talk in the locker room after their win over the Bears on Sunday. The passion that he spoke there with is what has been lacking for this team. And maybe behind the scenes, it's not. I don't know. I'm not there behind the scenes. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not at practice every day with what goes on, but the conversations these players are having and the coaching staff. But what I do know is the passion showed on Sunday. And that's what has been kind of a missing ingredient, almost more than the identity. Because even if you don't know your identity, but you're playing with a lot of passion, you could tell that the 49ers desperately wanted to win on Sunday. The other games, I didn't feel that the desperation was there quite as much. And so if they can take that passion that they had in their win over the Bears on Sunday and move it towards all of their passion towards this Cardinals game, and it's going to take a lot more than just passion to win over the Arizona Cardinals. We all know that. But that passion provides a lot. It gives you energy when you don't have any. You know, when you get adrenaline from, you know, some crazy scenario and you're able to lift up a car, you know, in some bizarre scenario, that stuff is where you get that from. What are you playing for? Who are you playing for? All of those things play a part in every single down. And what I've been missing on Sundays for the Niners is it seems that they're not playing with that passion. They're not playing with the urgency. It's like, make the first quarter, just pretend it's the fourth quarter and pretend like the game's on the line in the first quarter. And that's what I think has been missing for the Niners. If they can get that urgency early, get the passion going early, get some momentum in their direction, I think they've got a really good shot on Sunday, especially with how banged up the Cardinals are. And I hate to say it, you know, if they beat a banged up Cardinals team, whatever, a win is a win. You know, a lot of teams have beaten a banged up 49ers team that should be a lot better than they are, and they take the win. So I don't think that they'll be judged on, no matter who plays for the Cardinals or not, they're going to be judged on if they get a win or a loss. And that's going to, I do think this game could go a far way in determining how the rest of their season goes. It'll be hard to judge them if they lose because the Cardinals have one loss on the season. It's going to be hard to, it all depend on how the game goes, in what manner they win or lose. And of course, that's what we'll talk about after the game on Sunday.
I think it's black and white. I think if the 49ers win, they're a factor. If they lose, they're an also-ran. And until they win a couple in a row and get back to 500, I mean, and we'll see where the state of these teams are from a health standpoint on Sunday. Right now, there's a lot of questions, I think, for both teams, probably more so the Cardinals, as far as which players will be out there representing the Arizona Cardinals. But here's a question. This is the Driving to the Red Zone Toyota fan poll. And we haven't talked a whole lot about this guy in the future. We've talked a lot about the quarterback position in the last several weeks. But here's our Toyota fan poll question. And it's, is Jimmy Garoppolo still on the hot seat? And that question will be posted at the NBCS 49ers Twitter page. You can log on to that and submit your vote. And Laura, on the pregame show, you will reveal the results of that poll. Is Jimmy Garoppolo still on the hot seat?
Are we answering this right now?
We can discuss.
Okay. I'll discuss this because I feel like I've gotten some hate. Like, oh, some people are saying I'm too hard on Jimmy Garoppolo now. Like, what? Where did these people come from?
That was my burner account. I think.
Oh, that, I knew it was. You have like 5 burner accounts, and I blocked all of them, but you keep coming back with these other ones. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo to fail. This is not some scenario where I'm like, yes, let's have Jimmy Garoppolo fail so Trey Lance can come in there. No, I'm not like self-sabotaging of the 49ers, but I do think he's still on the hot seat. I think every game in 2021 with how the team has started, this is with the knowledge that we currently have, he's on the hot seat now. He had a great game against the Bears on Sunday. He was a big part of why the 49ers beat the Bears. He rushed for 2 touchdowns. He showed a lot of effort. He showed a lot of his game.
Moxie.
Yes. He showed a lot of swag.
He did.
I just want his family and friends to fly out to Levi's Stadium so that he can play like he's playing in front of his family and friends every week. It obviously means a lot to him. And I think that definitely helped elevate his play. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo to fail. I don't necessarily want Trey Lance to have to start. That's not obviously what Kyle Shanahan wants. And Kyle Shanahan knows whether or not Trey Lance is ready to go now more than I do. But one good game isn't swaying me all the way back into the Jimmy Garoppolo camp when there's this whole other body of work that I do have to look at and that we all have to look at that tells a different story. So much like the 49ers need to string together a few wins, Jimmy Garoppolo needs to string together a few convincing victories as well as stat lines and play on the field confidence, not being scared to rush in for a touchdown, not being scared to have the deep threat. We saw the deep ball from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's something we haven't seen in a long time. So he's going to have to do things like that multiple games in a row to start getting people believing that he should stay as the starting quarterback again. Personal opinion, you can take it, you can live it, leave it. You know,
what I love about the NFL is if there's one game a week, and that one game each week means so much, and you read so much into that one game. The thing I don't like about the NFL is that there's one game a week, and that game is so important, and you read so much into that one game. See where I'm going with this, Laura? I mean, I really think that we form our opinions, but our opinions can change, and our opinions can, you spend time thinking about things. And so here, I'm going to throw something else at you here. And it's kind of along the lines of, I do think that Jimmy Garoppolo, it's week to week with him. You know, you don't know what you're getting, and you want to see that consistency. He has to do it over and over. But week one of the season, he played well, and the 49ers won. Week two of the season, he played okay. 49ers still won. Week three of the season, he got off to a slow start, but he played well at the end, did all he could do, but the defense gave it up against the Packers, and they lost. The next week, he got injured pretty early in that game. The offense didn't do much in the first half, and then he was out. And then he didn't play the entire next week against the Cardinals. Trey Lance started, and the 49ers lost. Then there's the bye week. He comes back. He's probably still not 100% healthy with that calf. The weather conditions were horrible. He didn't play well, and the 49ers lost. Then he had a great game against the Bears, and he was a major factor in that victory. So it's still tough to evaluate him because there have been circumstances behind almost all of this. The thing that I would point to, though, is you know, I did feel like when Trey Lance is healthy, if Jimmy Garoppolo continues to struggle, yes, put Trey Lance in. However, I also think that what we saw in that Bears game, you see what it's like when you start a rookie quarterback. So Justin Fields, he had a good game, right? I mean, he ran the ball. He made that unbelievable fourth down play. He made one really nice throw for a touchdown. But, you know, he got sacked four times for 27 yards. They only had 148 yards net passing. The Bears under Justin Fields have yet to have more than 185 yards net passing in a game. And so for people to say, oh, man, how exciting was that for Bears fans to see their quarterback of the future? Well, hey, Justin Fields might end up being a great player, but right now he is not a great player. And so you're going to have those struggles whenever you have a rookie quarterback. And really, in a lot of ways, Justin Fields' game against the 49ers was pretty much like Trey Lance's game a few weeks ago against the Cardinals. It wasn't necessarily a winning performance. So, you know, watching that game and watching these two quarterbacks, to be a quarterback in the NFL, you have to make plays from the pocket. You know, Justin Fields made great running plays. Trey Lance.
10 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown in the 22-yard scramble. That's it.
Yeah, no, great. And Trey Lance against the Cardinals, he had some great running plays. But I just think that the way you win football games as a quarterback in the NFL is by throwing the football. Yeah, that to me is what it's all about. And you know, the Bears have struggled worse than any team in the league as far as throwing the football. So
worse than any quarterback in the league as far as getting sacked too.
Yes. Yeah, so I think, like, yes, it's exciting to watch, but I can totally see why Kyle Shanahan has more trust in this point in Jimmy Garoppolo, because Garoppolo, I think, is more equipped right now to execute the 49ers passing game.
We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, we will. We'll see how it all plays out. And I do think that Trey Lance is equipped with his background, kind of a West Coast system in North Dakota State, and he didn't play much football at all last year. So I think he has everything you want. And the thing that I like so much about the way he handled himself in that Cardinals game was exactly that, how he handled himself. It didn't seem too big for him. When he stepped to the podium, even after the game, he answered the questions. He seemed totally at ease. So I think he does have a very bright future. And I think, you know, this will be the week that maybe the 49ers integrate him a little bit. You know, a little bit. You knew they weren't going to do it against the Bears coming off of that injury. So, you know, that's still something to keep an eye on, is how much they're going to use him along with Jimmy Garoppolo. But, you know, the number one thing has to be, you know, what gives them the best chance of winning a game. And that is the only goal heading into this game against the Cardinals, because this is a big, big game for the 49ers of the 2021 season.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.